Fenway Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here live as always, per promise. And here is the only thing that's really changed at that point. Like last week, we're in our satellite office, which doubles as my home. But here to do what we always do this time of day, and hopefully you're all what you're doing, because you're cooped up anyway, so whether you're on your computer or maybe driving around looking for an open pharmacy or whatever, hope you can join us and stay for the whole hour. There is no shortage of things to discuss with you this particular week, and I think that may be the understatement of 2020 so far.
There is so much to talk about. It's almost overwhelming.
It is indeed. So we will dive pretty much right into it, starting with the market, which had some good points. It was a lot more fun this week than last week, but it was still grueling because there's so much volatility out there. But at least we regained what I consider to be a very, very significant milestone when it crossed back over 20,000 on the high side for the Dow. And I think that put a lot of investors a little more at ease than they had been. So without any further junk from me, Adam, take it away.
Yeah, it was actually the best week in the stock market since 2009. And at one point on Thursday, it was on track to be the best week in the stock market since 1938, which is pretty crazy. But we did pull back on Friday despite a really strong rally with about 15 minutes left that just fell apart at the end of the day. So
buy the rumor, sell the fact.
It was another case of investors probably not wanting to hold equities over a weekend when most of the headlines were almost guaranteed to be negative. And it would not surprise me. It would surprise me if we saw any positive headlines this weekend, because the media has just been eating up the negative news and regurgitating it, and to some degree putting spins on it that make it sound worse than what it is. The situation is obviously terrible, but when you start picking out individual cases and portraying them as the norm, then it can make it sound even worse than what it actually is. So just beware of what you're reading. Turn off your TV. Don't listen to the hysteria and the hype, and try and look at the facts and keep a level head, because this thing will end. It really will. It is terrible. Some of the things that are happening are unprecedented, but we are going to get out of this. So despite the strong week in the market, it didn't feel great. For one thing, you know, we crashed about 30% in less than a month, and that's got everyone down. On top of that, we're all locked in our houses. We don't know anything. There's rampant misinformation. There's and that's coming from reputable news sources and your friends on Facebook. There's no clear end in sight. And then that late rally, which was reversed on Friday, really didn't do anything to lift spirits. And I've seen a lot of comparisons in this market trying to make this 2008 or the Great Depression, but it's just not a fair comparison. This situation is 100% different. It is not like that at all, except that stocks were down then and stocks are down now. So just remember that. This thing could get worse before it gets better, or it might not. We really don't know. We'll give you some data points today that will suggest that maybe it was the bottom, but it does not mean it is the bottom. It still could go lower. It might go higher. It's so hard to predict right now. The VIX is spiking. We're seeing wild swings in both directions. I can't wait till we get back to a time when a 300-point move on the Dow is a big day. I long for those days.
Hey, I've seen that in under 60 seconds. How many times this week?
Oh, too many to count. It seems like every day that happens. So fear and uncertainty aside, there was a little bit more rational trading this week. For the first few weeks, it just seemed that everything was crashing. Stocks across all industries were getting hammered. Gold and silver dropped. Bonds dropped. There was no rhyme or reason to it as investors just piled into cash. And now it actually seems like money is flowing into sectors that might do well in the short term. Companies like Amazon, Walmart, and a handful of other retailers that are positioned pretty well to actually service people's needs when they're stuck at home.
General category that you're talking about is consumer staples.
Yes, and they've held up much better than the overall market.
Yeah.
They didn't drop as far, but they didn't come back as far this week, but that's because they weren't down 33% either. Some companies that sold off like they were going to go out of business, like the airlines, Boeing, and other travel-related stocks, saw fairly large bounce backs. They're still down really very much off their highs, but they saw the bigger bounces this week when the news of the stimulus and the bailouts came to fruition on Friday. The exception to this is the cruise ship industry. They were not included in the bailout package because most of them are based overseas for tax reasons, and Americans aren't really big on bailing out foreign companies. And I have to kind of agree with that. It's if you're going to domicile overseas, then that country needs to be the one that steps in to save you, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens with that. But as of right now, we are not planning on bailing out the cruise ship industry. So one interesting data point from Bespoke Research that I found this morning was that retail money, meaning mom-and-pop investors, are flowing, they're flooding the money market. They're selling stocks, selling bonds, and going to money market accounts at a rate that we haven't seen since December of 2018 and then the big drawdown of early 2016. And why is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it's a good thing. Retail investors tend to do things at the exact wrong time. And during both of those times, they move money into money market funds just before the market turned around. So I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen. This time could be different, but we don't know yet. The other point was that bearish sentiment increased this week to over 50%, while bullish sentiment decreased to the low 30s. It typically gets down to the 20s before a big market turn, but we're pretty close already. So those two things are actually pretty good signs for the market, about the market potentially being at a low. The U.S. market was not the only market to bounce off its lows this week. The U.K. market rebounded by almost 19%, Canada over 17%, and even India, which could be absolutely devastated by this disease. I mean, they have every risk factor available in their country. And their market bounced this week as well by about 16%. China is off its lows by just under 6%, which sounds low, but then you have to remember they only dropped about 20% from their recent high compared to 30 to 40% for most countries. And I see that Captain Dave is on the line, but we're going to take him after the break, so we'll be right back on the other side.
All right, a couple things that we want you to watch for. And one of them would be job losses, either for yourself or for others. I can't verify this, but it can't hurt you. But my astute research department came up with this. When you apply for unemployment benefits, if you've lost your job because of no fault of your own or your friends do, when they call the banks or the offices or whoever they're calling, tell them to say that they have no income due to the coronavirus. Apparently, those are key words in getting your claims settled. So tell everybody you know, if this happens to you, use the term due to the coronavirus. A little helpful hint. All right, we'll be right back. Got to take a break and pay some bills, and we'll talk to Captain Dave. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question, as always, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888, and you can call us, even though we're not in the studio, at 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. On the phone with us is our old buddy from the shipping days, Captain Dave. This is where the technicals get a little tougher, but we got him yet?
Not yet.
Well, as soon as we get Captain Dave, we'll have Captain Dave. Meanwhile, I want to remind everybody what I just said. If you know someone who's in trouble job-wise and is going to lose some income and file for the unemployment benefits under the what is called the Family First Coronavirus Response Act, tell them to absolutely mention that their problem is based on the coronavirus problem. That apparently triggers these longer-term benefits. And whether or not I can say that for absolute certain, that is what we have found so far, and I believe it to be true. And besides, what could it hurt?
So Captain Dave had dropped, but he's back on.
Okay,
so
good.
Go ahead, Captain
Dave. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Can you hear? Hey, good morning. You were mentioning the cruise lines. Boy, I'll tell you, and this is not you I'm talking about. Ignorance is bliss. The cruise lines are all incorporated outside the United States, and
correct,
that's a very simple reason. There's a thing called the Jones Act.
Yep.
Passed the very same night they passed the income tax. And that
coincidence,
the Jones Act should the Jones Act should have been renamed the Act to enriching the Pitcairn family. It's
yep.
what it should have been.
Surprise.
It's just simply impossible to operate a passenger vessel in the United States waters because of the Jones Act. If I want to ship a ton of coal from place to A, place to B, and if I or wood, and if I use a foreign flag vessel, it will cost me about 30% less or more than if I'm an American flag vessel, because I am as a foreign flag vessel, I'm not operating under the Jones Act.
That's why guys like Aristotle Onassis became so wealthy.
Yeah, I mean, we just, that whole thing, and it's one of those things that nobody, you know, unless you know this kind of stuff, people don't even know. Why are all these vessels? You don't see, what was the last time you saw any container ship, any kind of ship whatsoever, was an American hailing port?
Doesn't happen.
Doesn't
right.
happen because
true.
we shut the American shipping business down basically to favor the Pitcairn family because they were the only ones that were allowed to do any business.
That's good to be the king. I knew there was more to that story, Captain Dave, but I did not realize that was the detail. So thanks for enlightening us.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, wow. it makes me angry. We should have. In fact, you know, I think after 9/11, I think Bush suspended the Jones Act at one point.
Boy, that's something I don't remember, but it would be interesting to look up.
Yeah, I know it happened. I don't know if it was 9/11. Might have been, yeah, it would have been 9/11.
That would have been the only time that you could do something that.
But he basically suspended the Jones Act, which allowed American flag vessels to move stuff around without being prohibitively costly. And the thing about it is cruise ships and all shipping lines, we have international employees that are, you know, that from every nation in the world, and are predominantly from outside the United States. Our merchant service is small compared to Indonesia and like that. And
China,
again, those
huge.
People, you know, those folks don't operate. Admiralty law is a very complicated piece of business, by the way.
Yeah, actually, my ex-brother-in-law, who's unfortunately passed away, was into admiralty law. So we know a bit more about it than we would otherwise. That's absolutely true.
It's very complicated.
The argument, on the news before the show came on, there was sort of a discussion going on among the news people about Americans don't feel good about bailing out foreign companies. Well, the reason that these things are foreign companies is because of Americans who made
yeah.
the laws. So how do you rectify that in your head? I don't know, frankly.
No, that's exactly the point. The point is the reason they're not here is be here.
That makes sense. And I always thought that I'd always thought that Carnival was based in Miami, and their world headquarters are in Miami, but they're actually registered in another country, like ship's registry, Panama or something.
They're either Panama or Liberia. I forget. Liberia is big. You know, Liberia is a landlocked country and has more ships registered in Liberia than any other country.
That's funny. Yeah, and Greece was like that for a while. They were allowed
anyway, I just wanted your listeners, and I knew you sort of knew because we had talked about it before,
sure.
Steve.
Sure.
But it ain't that they're foreign companies. They're sort of foreign companies, but I don't know. They're not going to let the cruising industry get down the tubes. They just,
no, we can't.
The public won't. The public won't.
We can't. You're right.
People love cruising. All right, you guys, have a great weekend. Stay isolated.
Thanks, Ken. Talk to you soon. Okay, I need to finish up the trivia question. These are things that you can control a lot better when you're in a studio than we can today. But we'll get through it. Don't you worry. This isn't our first rodeo, obviously. How much did a share of Berkshire Hathaway, an A share, which is, for those of you who don't know, Warren Buffett's big, big stock, practically a mutual fund in its own right. Anyway, how many thousands of dollars did an A share of Berkshire Hathaway drop between the end of last year and Monday night this past week to the nearest $1,000? Think big, people. I just gave you a hint already about that. So that's the trivia question. All right, what we want to do, we want to get into the biggest stimulus bill ever passed. And this makes Obama's stimulus look like a toddler. It's actually around $6.2 trillion total, but the operative part of it that isn't going to be mostly loans is the downstroke of $2.2 trillion. Now, if or how or how much you will be affected in your daily lives depends on where you sit and your circumstances. So I'm going to let Adam go through a lot of the original details on this thing and explain it as to job losses and that sort of thing. And my part of it, which will come in sometime in the second half of the show, is the financial planning opportunities that are being presented. And I'm telling you, folks, if you are anywhere near the age of 70, you'll want to hear this. It's pretty good.
All right, but first, let's talk about how it's going to affect you and your wallet. And I'm sure by now everyone has heard about the checks that are coming. And it is true, there are checks coming, and you are very likely to get one if you filed income tax return in 2018 or 2019. So if you were working and you paid taxes, there's a very good chance that you are going to get a check, except it won't actually be a check. It'll be a direct deposit into the account that you got your tax refund deposited into in either one of those years, unless you don't have a bank account, and then you will actually get a check, and it might take a little bit longer to get the money. So that's the first point, is if you want to get a direct deposit and you do not have an account on file with the IRS, do so. Get it in there. The checks are going to be $1,200 per adult, $500 per child under 17 years old. So that, there's an income limit on that, but for the most part, that is what people will get. So a family of four, both adults would get $1,200, and then you would get $500 per child for a total of $3,400. Now, the income limits are as follows. For a single filer, you get the maximum check up to $75,000 in AGI, and I'll explain AGI in a minute, but basically $75,000 in income. And then that is phased out up to $100,000. If you made more than $100,000 as a single filer, you do not get a check. Sorry. For married couples, that is $150,000 to get the full check, and then that is phased out up to $200,000. And then if you file head of household, the limit to get the full check is $112,000. So a nice boost for the head of household, single parent types. The reduction over those limits, over $75,000 or $150,000,
it is your checks are reduced by $5 for every $100 in AGI above those limits. So if you want to figure out what your AGI is, you can go to line 7 of your 2018 tax return or line 8B of your 2019 tax return. And the way that the it's determined is if you have filed for 2019, they're going to look at that number. But if you haven't filed yet for 2019, they're going to look at 2018.
All right, Brad, we'll pick up exactly where we left off right after this break. And we'll wrap up all these little gory details about you and getting some money and getting it soon and how soon. And then I'm going to get into the planning opportunities that are presented by this that, quite frankly, are so surprising to me. There's only been a couple times in my life when I looked at something and said, they couldn't have read that. It's too good to be true. I'm absolutely sure that somebody slipped it in there and got away with it. All right, don't go anywhere. We've got to pay some bills. We'll be right back after the break. This is the Vanuit Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanuit Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanuit.
And I'm Adam Vanuit.
And we are here live. Instead of being there live, we are here live. The lines are open. We are taking calls. You can give us a call at 904-222-TALK or 222-8255. Trivia questions still out there. How many to the nearest 1,000, how many thousands of dollars did of a share of an A-share of Berkshire Hathaway, fall between the end of the last year and Monday evening when the market closed? So it's a whole number of thousands of dollars, and that is that. All right, we've been talking about the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which most people call the CARES Act because it's so much simpler. But it's basically two components. One is getting money into the hands of people and businesses that need it and trying to retain some employment. And those are the ones that are going to impact the largest number of people in the country. And Adam's been starting out on that, and I'm going to turn it back over for him to do some more. And then when we're done with those things, I'm going to talk to the handful of people that are going to be affected by the longer-term financial planning aspects. And this could really be a godsend for the right people. So you want to stay tuned, but do not fail to call in. If you've got any questions, we'd love to put you first. We always do. And it's even more fun when things are a little disrupted like they have been lately. So take it away.
All right. So as I was talking about the checks, how do you get them? What are they going to look like? They're going to be direct deposited into your bank account. If you had a tax return that was deposited in 2018 or 2019, they'll use that same information. So if you have changed banks, go ahead and notify the IRS as soon as possible. Also, if you made significantly more money in 2018 than you did in 2019, and you haven't filed your 2019 taxes, do that this weekend, because
great idea. You
will get more money back. If you made over 150 in AGI in 2018 and then in 2019 you didn't, you'll get the full check if you can get your tax return in soon enough. So get on that. Don't delay. It's going to be worth a significant amount of money. People are asking if Social Security recipients will be receiving checks, and the answer is yes, you will. So it isn't just people who worked in 2018 and 2019. If you file the return, you will be getting that check. So retirees, good news for you.
May I barge in with a question for a moment?
Yeah.
There are a lot of Social Security recipients who are retired, and they don't have to file anymore because they never have anything that's owed. How do they get paid? Do you think they ought to file for 2019 and file immediately?
That's a good question. I will have to look into that. That is not a scenario that I have read about yet.
Okay. I can think of people who would be impacted by this, and I will. If you look it up, I'll look it up, and we'll put our heads together, and we can tell everybody next week what we found.
Yeah, according to what I've seen, though, those people should be eligible for checks.
Yes, so. Well, that's what it seems like, but they won't know, IRS won't know, because they don't have communications.
I wonder.
You're supposed to use the Social Security rolls to do that?
It's very possible. That's what I was thinking. They would have their bank account on file, mm-hmm. because most people get the direct deposit for their Social Security checks. So that's possible.
That may be the easiest answer to the question that we could get, but we'll find out.
Okay, so it's estimated that between 125 to 140 million Americans will get checks, which is about 82 to 93% of taxpayers. So the people that are excluded are high-income filers, obviously, if you're over that AGI limit, people who qualify as a dependent of somebody else. They will not get the checks. The person that claims them will. And then non-resident aliens as well will not receive checks.
AOC didn't like that.
Nope, she did not, but that is the rule. Really good news, and I've seen a lot of misinformation about this, especially on Facebook. These checks are not taxable. You will not pay taxes on this as income. So
stimulus, it is not income.
Right. So do not worry about withholding a portion of that to pay taxes on it, because you will not have to. So here's a category of people that you might be wondering about. What if you made too much money in 2018 or 2019 and then lost your job? Will you get a check? And the answer is sort of. You will not get a check with everyone else this year. You will get the money back when you file for 2020 as a tax rebate. So it's coming, but it's going to be delayed. Yeah, you're going to have to wait a while, actually.
That's a funny way to do stimulus.
It's really odd. I think that they look at that situation as being, yes, these people could use some money, but they also made a ton of money in the last couple of years, and hopefully they saved some of it. So I don't know. That's the rule. That's what it is. The only other reason that your check would be reduced besides making too much money is if you are late with child support payments and the federal government is aware of it. So if those two situations apply to you, you might not see your full check. It will go
to, somebody will.
Yeah, somebody will see it, but it won't be you. So so that is that's a summary of the checks that are coming. I think that they apply to, as I mentioned, probably about 90% of taxpayers will see this money. So hopefully we spend it in the right places. Hopefully there'll be things open that we can go and spend it locally. I would really like to see that. Go get some takeout from your local restaurants. These people are really struggling. We want them to be around when things open back up. And I don't know that all of them are going to make it without some serious help. So
there will be casualties.
Yeah, for sure. So please go and spend it locally if you can.
But do you have any details about small business people who are being closed down, not because they want to, and what's available to them?
Yes, I'm getting to that. I wanted to talk a little bit about unemployment benefits on steroids. The way that this is going to work, you might have heard there are increased unemployment benefits for the next 4 months, and it is going to be an extra $600 per filer per week. So for a couple who's both unemployed.
Extra $600.
So an extra $1,200 if a couple both lost their jobs and both file for unemployment. You get the regular unemployment plus the extra $600. So
every week.
For four months, yes.
We were discussing this over breakfast and how that's so much money is going to create a disincentive for people to go back to work. So I came up with the counter argument for that. The reason people are going to want to go back to work is they're homeschooling their kids.
Well, there's that. But then eventually schools will reopen, and maybe they won't be. But we'll see how long that takes. So we have no idea at this point. And I don't know. People who are guessing are doing just that. They're guessing when things are going to happen. I've seen people speculating that the entire fall football seasons will be canceled. Nobody knows. You don't know, and you will not know until we get closer to that time. So anyone who's speculating when kids will go back to school in places like Duval County, which has not announced such things yet, you just don't know. So anyway, sorry, that's beside the point. Actually, I think we have a phone call. Al? Put him
yes.
on.
Good I'm morning. Going to answer the question on Berkshire.
Sure.
It's less than 1%.
I want a number of thousands of dollars that the actual share price fell.
$1,545.
That might be the B share, but it's not the A share. You're too low.
No, that is the A share.
No. No, you look it up. And what do you think it's selling for right now?
268,000.
Yeah. But the question was how much
did Monday,
it fall?
Right? Monday close?
From the end of last year, December 31st,
December
31st, to the Monday close.
It was selling at 339. And in the Monday, it was 338.
That's not. Let me. All right. He's looking it up, but I think it's substantially lower than that. Yeah, and I can't give you the number. It is way. Yeah, it's substantially lower than that. We're looking at the quote right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry about that, but appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a big number, folks.
Too. Yeah, it really is.
But when you look at it in percentage terms, I'll explain a little bit more. He didn't get knocked out of the market. In fact, him being Warren Buffett and all, as you might expect, he came through just a little bit better than a lot of us did. So even though it's a big number, he got a bunch of it back, and he'll be fine. The day we all start worrying about Warren Buffett, it's going to have a lot bigger problems than what we're seeing with the coronavirus, believe me. And the nicest thing about it is the man understands one thing in particular, and that is when things get tough, you do not sell things. You wait and then try to buy on the way back in. All right, we'll be right back after a break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are in our fourth segment already. Time does fly. I want to get on to a little of the planning opportunities presented by the CARES Act. But I first want to mention, because we've been chatting about it this morning, a little bit. There are proposals out there now because the Federal Reserve is so heavily involved in this because their job is to create money where none exists. And you know, y'all, if you've listened to me very long, you know my feelings about the Federal Reserve. There is talk about the U.S. government getting more involved in the ownership and operation of the Fed. And I'm going to tell you right now, that would be the biggest fight since World War II. Because it is not owned by us. It is not federal. It is not a reserve. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to five very wealthy families who are not Americans, and they are not about to let it go. But my suggestion would be, let's privatize it or publicize it or however you want to. Let's take it over. That's the word I'm looking for. And then use that opportunity to put it out of business and do it right this time. But that's just my opinion. You can disagree all you want. By the way, I got the guy who can lead it, too. His name is Rand Paul, and he could get it done. Anyway, I had to mention that because you'll hear more and more about it. But, man, you talk about a high hurdle, that's a biggie. All right, let's talk about what could be the most interesting little planning detail of 2020. Most of you who have retirement plans, retirement accounts, IRAs, 401Ks, 403Bs, 457s, on and on and on, know that once you reach 70 and a half, if you were born before 1950, you had to start taking required minimum distributions already. If you were born in 1950, the Secure Act actually gave us a little breathing room, and now you don't have to take them until you're 72. So if you're born in 1950 or later, you have a different set of rules. I hit the 1950, so this is not going to impact me exactly. But there's an awful lot of people out there who are taking them already because they were born in 49 and earlier. The entire RMD requirement for 2020 has been waived. Now, what does that mean? If you are one of the 70% or so of people who withdraw from your retirement accounts more than your required minimum because that's what you're living on, it means absolutely nothing to you. You will continue to do exactly that, and nothing will change. But if you are at that point where you have started or have to start because of your age this year, you get a year off. Now, that says to me, all over it, because this is how we think, that this is the tax planning opportunity of a lifetime. What we call income planning means where do you take your money from, what is your targeted income, and why. So if you have both a retirement plan, an IRA or 401k or something like that, and money on the side to live on, or if you just make enough money from pensions and whatever, maybe you're still working, that you would not need that money this year, you can take a year off and let it accumulate for the balance of the year with no taxable income coming out of it. And that's particularly important because of what happened between December 31st and now. The S&P 500 during that time fell, as of last Monday night, 33 1/3%. Account values are all down across the board. Those of us who are diversified well didn't go down as far, but there was no escape from it. Your account values are down. Well, if you're needing to sell something this year in order to pay your RMD, you're probably going to sell something that wasn't as high as it was as of last December. Well, you don't have to do that now if you're one of those people who doesn't need that extra income. So we look at it from where is the top of the second tax bracket? This is the key to life. We want you to come up, if you can, to stay under that tax bracket for taxable income. This is not AGI, it's taxable income, because then all of your qualified dividends and all of your capital gains for the year are free, zero tax rate. Whereas if you go $1 over that, you're going to pay tax on them. It doesn't seem fair, and I don't care because I don't define what fair is. What I care about is what's smart. So this is a golden opportunity for people who are already taking them or are planning to take them later this year. Think about what your income is going to be. Look at your tax return when it's done for 2019. You can always send us a link or whatever so we can look at it and do a little planning on it. But there are going to be a lot of people this year who can use that time to restore their account balances, but more than that, do themselves a favor for income planning. And do not think that because you don't have to take one, you shouldn't take one. Because if you're way down in a super low tax bracket, you want to get that money out of there, because when it comes out, it's very likely it'll come out at a higher level. So this is truly an individualistic thing. It's the relationship between you and your tax and your RMDs and your taxable versus tax-free accounts. Other ones, you might want to use Roth money if you need the money, but you want to keep your taxable income down. There are just so many ways to go about this, and you can possibly help yourself one time to recover, and it's due to this Recovery Act, but only if you know how to use it. So there, some good old-fashioned personal financial planning comes into being. Just so everybody knows, there will be more and more regulatory stuff written on this and clarifications and all those things that people do before they're fully published. This, I know this is in the bill. I've had it from various good, solid sources like the Paychex Company, who is very tied into Washington. The absolute details of it will be getting over the next few days, and we'll be reporting on every week as to how to use these things for the maximum impact for your situation. But look at this, to me, with exactly the same eye that I looked back in the 1990s when they made the rule changes for when you sell your personal residence and you can make up to $250,000 as an individual or $500,000 as a couple and get it tax-free. I've said for 20 years, if Congress had read that law, they wouldn't have passed it. It's too user-friendly, and it's not like them to do it. This, I feel exactly the same way. This is so user-friendly. I am absolutely stupefied that it made the cut. So for all the things that are in that are going to cost us and our grandchildren a lot of money, that's one thing. But let's all do the best we can. Either if you're hurting for work, you use it to get your benefits quicker and higher than they would be. And if you're not out of work, then there's some other things you can look at too. And then there'll be some people that are just completely not affected by this. And that means you're doing okay, so I can't feel too sorry for anybody at this point in time. You know, as Mason and Dixon once discussed, you got to draw the line somewhere, and Congress did it at, I think, what was a fairly tolerable level. I don't like the fact that it had to be done, but I'm one of those people that agrees that it had to be done. So with that in mind, you can always find the silver lining in the cloud if you look far enough, and no one's better at being a cockeyed optimist than I am. So anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit about Berkshire Hathaway, too.
The A share of Berkshire Hathaway closed out last year at $340,000 a share, which is a little pricey for my account. Well, now it's on sale, or it was Monday night anyway, for $240,000 a share, having dropped $100,000 a share during that short time. It's since popped up another 28 or something like that. But as I said, Warren Buffett was only down about 29% versus 33% for the market. So as usual, the guy comes out on top as the winner. And as I said before, what's even more important is his attitude about times like this. And he said there would be times like this. Don't sell. Wait, be patient, and be smart about it. If you have new money going in, put it in double if you can. This is a golden opportunity for you young people out there to buy things really cheaply. So don't get discouraged over all this stuff. Use it to your benefit, both short-term and long-term. Do a little tax planning if you have to, some tax loss harvesting and that sort of thing.
And I'm pretty sure that Jack Bogle, had he lived through this, would be saying the exact same thing.
He would have told you in spades exactly what you just heard. So don't be discouraged and be smart. You know, we all want to get out more. We all want to support our local businesses. We all want to see people get back to work. But if we're getting this curve leveled off, which appears to be the case, then we'll get through it sooner. And I just disregard all this junk that you hear. If Trump says, I'd like to have it open by April, and the whole world just goes crazy, that's not what's going on up there, folks. Stay sane. Listen to us. We'll tell you the truth. And be sure to be here next week when we will do all of this over again with some more current information, hopefully some details on some of these things that are going around right now. And we are doing meetings by Skype, so if you want to come see us, do it that way. Call the show. Then we